About a topic that has really helped me to figure out how God's going to use me. We have different seasons of our life, and sometimes we get excited or we get kind of ready to go for the next step of our life, but sometimes God wants us to kind of hold back a little bit. You know, it's like you see the Amish, and they're going down the road in their horse and buggy, and their horse just gets real rambunctious when the loud cars come around them, right? And they got to hold them back. It's kind of what God does to us, right? He holds us back. And so this morning we're going to talk about different seasons of life. But I would like to share my testimony this morning because it does kind of tie in. So I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we're thankful for today. We're thankful for your love and your mercy. Lord, this morning I pray that you would open our hearts and that you would allow us to receive your word and that we may get something that can help us, Lord. I pray this morning for those that are sick. I pray that you would just bless them and I pray that you would heal them. I pray that you would just keep your hand upon each and every person. In Jesus' name, amen. I never had the opportunity to grow up in church. My family, they're unfortunately not saved. They never took me to church, and every time I went to a church, it wasn't even a Bible-preaching church, so I never heard the gospel, and I met my wife in 2015, and I was not saved at the time. My wife had the privilege of growing up in church. She was saved at the age of 7, and so from there, when I met my wife in 2015, we were in high school, and I fell in love with her, and I went to my father-in-law, and I said, listen, I love your daughter, and I would love to marry her. And he said, well, before we talk about marriage, let's talk about a little bit of marriage counseling. And so I agreed to sit down with our pastor, and my pastor explained to me that I cannot be good enough to get into heaven. He explained that I cannot work my way to heaven. I can never be good enough to get into heaven. That's why we need Jesus. And so on July 25th of 2017, I gave my heart to the Lord. And from there, I had the zeal to serve the Lord. And right after we got married in October 2017, we started teaching a class of 0 to 6-year-olds. And when my wife and I was teaching that class, and I really enjoyed it, and I learned all the different Bible stories that you hear, you know, growing up, if you grow up in church, right? Noah and the flood. I never heard that story. And when I learned it, the night before, on Saturday night, I'm reading over my lesson. I went, honey, did you know that they flooded the earth and it was like over everything and people died? She's like, yeah, you did? And I was like, no, I had no idea. And so I grew so much, but I had this zeal to serve the Lord more and more. Then I met my pastor's youngest son. He's a missionary in Taiwan, John Walls. You may know him. You may have heard of him. And he comes back on furlough, and he said, hey, you want to have a Bible study? And I said, yeah, let's do it. So every Tuesday, I met with him, right? And so every Tuesday, we would have this Bible study, and the Lord just slowly put it on my heart more and more. And I worked construction since I was 11 years old. And so I was around the roughest, toughest crowd that you probably get around. And I heard all this junk all day long, and I still had this zeal to serve the Lord. Well, from there, God just put it on my heart to preach the gospel. And I got scared and I ran from it, because first I thought my wife was going to leave me, because I did not know that God was working on her heart at the time. And so from there, we just had this desire. After I went to my wife and had a conversation with her, I surrendered in 2019 to preaching the gospel. And we didn't know if it was going to be, if the Lord wanted me to pastor, if he wanted to be wanted us to be missionaries, or what it was. And so from there, we went to Bible college in Georgia, went through our mission board, Vision Baptist Missions. And from there, we went to Mexico, and we served with veteran missionary Jonathan Anderson. In Mexico, we had the privilege of learning just enough Spanish to where I could share the gospel, and you'll hear more about that tonight. And now the Lord has put it heavy on our heart to take the gospel to Brazil. So that's kind of a fast testimony of how I got saved and how the Lord led us to Brazil. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to start out, we're going to kind of jump around, so I'll try to give you a little bit of time for each verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Many times we run into these seasons of life and we don't realize how to go through them. I never grew up in church, and so I never knew how to properly handle how God is directing me in my life. And so each one of us are in a different season. Some of us may be in high school. Some of us may be in college. Some of us may be beyond college. And you're just enjoying your grandkids. And so we're all in different seasons of life. But if you're not specifically showed in the Bible the different steps, and these are, and I'm going to give you seven different steps that the Lord has helped me with my transition from working construction full-time to going to full-time ministry without getting ahead of myself. There was a time where we wanted to go, or I wanted to. We come back from Mexico in 2023, and I just had this desire to get started on deputation to move forward, but God still wanted me to wait. God still was holding me back. And so the first point I'm going to give you is trusting in God's timing. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. See, God has a specific season for each of us. He's got a specific time for us. He said, to every season, everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God has a purpose for us, but there's a different season for us. So if we're trusting in the timing that God has for us, we'll be able to see what season we're truly in and where we're at in our life. If we look at Paul was, before he got saved, Paul was a righteous man. He was a lost man. But God had a plan for him. And if you follow Paul's life, he gets saved and he goes in and then he gets discipled by Barnabas. He travels with Barnabas. But God had a plan for him. And then when it was time for Paul to start his ministry, what happened? Him and Barnabas split off and Paul started his ministry. We see there's a timing for everything we do. You may be in a job transition right now, but there's a timing for that. We just got to trust the Lord in it. So we're trusting in God's timing. The second one is being content in all circumstances. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. See, learning to be content in any circumstances, whether it's being in a career stagnation or having certain materialistic wants, there's a valuable lesson in the Bible. If we look at Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 11, see, true contentment comes from finding joy in God's presence and His blessings. Multiple times, before God opened my eyes, we as a human, right, as the flesh, we kind of get ahead of ourselves. And so when we find true contentment in the Lord, we find joy in everything we do, no matter what we have. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need." Paul is telling us that we need to learn how to be content where we're at. Paul's telling us that if we find that, he says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." If we learn to be content, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. It's when we're not content in what we're doing is when we start getting ahead of ourselves. I can remember before we surrendered to the ministry and before we moved to Georgia, I always wanted all these materialistic things. Whether it was a side-by-side, whether it was a new car or a new truck, but I was never content where I was at. But then the Lord slowly was showing me to be content with what I have and where I'm at in life. I always was zealous and almost jealous of people. Well, they're here. Why can't I be there? But if we learn to be content, we find a different kind of joy. You see people all over the world, and it's sad, even Christians. We see Christians even. They're going out there and they're buying all these new things and they're doing all these different things because they haven't found true joy. And joy comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from what we do. But it comes from what God is doing in our life. It comes from what God has given us. And when we find true contentment in what God is doing in our life, we're going to be the happiest people out there. And then everybody's going to look at you and say, why are you so chipper? Why are you so happy? Well, because just God's so good to me. He has blessed me. He is using me. That's how we find true contentment. So we're trusting in His timing and we're being content in all circumstances of our life. The third thing is we're seeking God's guidance. We're seeking God's guidance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, if you would like to turn your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. See, turning to God in prayer and seeking His guidance can help anyone with a decision about anything, like a career, whether you're buying something or whether you're moving somewhere. If we are seeking God's guidance, He's going to open that door. He's going to show that path for us. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy way, and He shall direct thy path. See, when we're seeking God's guidance, and we acknowledge Him in everything that we're doing, and we're trusting in our hearts everything that we know that He's got a plan for our life. What's that last part of that verse 6? He shall direct our path. He will direct the path of where we're heading. So if we're seeking God's guidance, He's going to direct that path perfectly. There was a time where, when we was moving to Georgia for Bible college, I knew we went down to visit. We took 3 days and went down to visit the training center, the college that we was looking at going to. And we went down there for just a couple of days, and my brother-in-law was down there, so we was able to stay with my wife's sister and her husband. And so we go down there, and before we left, I'm thinking, this is where God has us. I just feel at peace that this is where God would have us to go. So I looked at my wife the last night we were there. We were laying in bed, and she said, what's the plan? And I said, well, let's go home and sell the house. And she was, okay, let's do it. And so we come back to Ohio, and about a month later, we put the house up on the market. I've heard of so many horror stories of people putting their house on the market because they think that God has a big plan for them, but the house sits on the market for a year. And you're thinking, Lord, what am I doing? So I at this point, I'm kind of scared. I'm like, is the house going to sell? Is this really what God has for my life? And I'm trying to seek God's guidance for my life. And as I continue on, He opened the door. He directed that path very likely, very good. He directed that path perfectly. About a month later, we put it up on the market. And right out the day we put it on the market, we wasn't planning on showing the house, but we had three people want to look at the house the day we put it on the market. And that was during COVID. That was in 2020. The next day we were signing a contract. The next day. When you are seeking God's guidance, He's going to open that door. He's going to make the path clear for you. He's going to do it. The fourth thing, use your gifts and your talents. So we're trusting in His timing. We're being content in everything that we're doing, seeking God's guidance, and then the fourth thing, we're using our gifts and our talents. If you'll turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible teaches that God has gifted each person with a unique ability. Utilizing these gifts, even in the midst of challenges that you may be experiencing, can bring fulfillment and impact. See, God gives each one of us a gift that maybe someone else don't have. Are we using those gifts and those talents that God has blessed us with? It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, God wants us to use the gift He's given us. He's given us specific gifts that each one of us have that someone else may not have. Some of us can go out, we can talk to someone just out of the thin air. That's me. My wife does not like going to the store with me half the time because I get lost because I talk with people. And she's like, I'm just going to finish shopping. You'll be fine. And I call her, where are you at? I'm in the car. Where are you at? Oh, well, I guess I'm coming to the car now. But some of us has this gift or these talents that God has specifically gifted us with. Are we using them? Because 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible tells us all through that we are to be good stewards in what? Money? Time management? Our gifts? We are to be good stewards. We're to be good stewards and use the talents. If you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. See, some of us are gifted with certain gifts. Some of us get the gifts that others don't have. Are we using them to the fullest ability that God has given us? Are we realizing the gifts that God has given us? Are we able to use them? Because if we're willing to use them, God's going to continue to bless. And He's going to show you what path you're headed toward. The fifth thing, be diligent and faithful. Be diligent and faithful. The Bible emphasizes the value of diligence and faithfulness in all areas of life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Even during any crisis in your life, working with excellence and integrity matters. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. I work construction a big part of my life. From the time I was 11 years old up until I moved, well, even after I moved to Georgia, I still worked construction. Up until we went full-time ministry, and that was last June when I got laid off from my job, I worked construction. Whether it's house, I'm remodeling houses, whether I'm doing underground utilities for the construction companies, whether I'm building houses, whatever it may be, I was doing construction. And if we're not diligent and faithful in everything we do, some of us don't do construction. Some of us have an office job. But working with excellence and integrity really does matter, especially in the Christian life. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." See, I know our bosses, they sign our paycheck, right? That's how we get paid. But you're not working for them. You're working for God. When you're a saved Christian, you are not working for man. You're working for God. Because God's the one that ultimately gives you your end goal. He's the one that ultimately shows you what His purpose for your life is. So if we're working with integrity and working with excellency, that's what God wants us to do. Because we're working for Him. I can remember a time where when I worked construction, before I left for Georgia, I'm a union laborer, 423 out of Columbus, Ohio. Please don't hold it against me. I don't like the union. It's good money, and it's a good way to find work, I guess. But I worked for this construction company, and I was a foreman for this company, and I had my own crew. And as I'm working on the job site, we're digging around these utilities. Well, we was on this job site where these people come through, the electricians come through and put conduit in the ground so they can pull their wires through. We was digging just simple drainage pipe in the ground, and we hit the pipe. And one of the guys said, yeah, just cover it up. It's okay. It's not our, we don't have to worry about it. It's someone else. No, we're not doing that. Well, we don't have to, we can get this job done. We can move on. No, we're not doing that. And I took the hit and I went over and I said, listen, we hit one of your pipes. Can we go ahead and get it fixed before we do what we need to do here? And we did. Yes, I got in trouble. Yes, I had to deal with the yelling. But if you're not working with integrity or excellency in your life, people won't trust you. People won't listen to you. See, God wants to use you specifically to show people the light. And if you're not using your abilities and you're not working with integrity, guess what? Nobody's going to listen to you. And you won't be able to do what God wants you to do because nobody will trust you. So we're working, we're being diligent, we're being faithful. Number six, we're seeking wise counsel. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. See, consulting with mentors, counselors, and fellow believers can provide valuable perspective and advice during challenges in your life. How many high school students we got in here? Quite a bit? Okay. I like it. I like it. Probably ranging from different, right? Freshman to senior, I hope, right? Nobody held back. That was me. My senior year, I had to retake several classes. But anyway, high school is just terrible. But listen, when you have a loving church, and you have a loving pastor, and you have loving parents that take you to church, you have so many people that you can go to when you're struggling with things. Especially if you don't have that relationship. And parents, adults, there are so many people in this church that love you. Obviously, you wouldn't feel at home if they didn't love you. But if we're seeking wise counsel from biblical people, God's going to use that to advance us. If we look at Proverbs chapter 15, 22, it says this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. See, there's many times that when you don't realize the help that you truly have and you allow Satan to put it in your head, listen, nobody knows what you're going through. Listen, nobody knows. You're the only one that's went through it. That's the biggest lie Satan likes to tell you. Because he wants to discourage you. He wants to push you away. He does not want you doing anything for the Lord. But when you realize that you have people that love you, and that have went through pretty much the same thing, you'll realize that that was a lie that Satan gave you. That nobody's went through it. Before I got saved, I had no biblical counsel. And then I started going to church and I got saved, and I started really just digging in. I started realizing that people around me are going through the same thing. See, God's going to put people in your life that either is going to help you or that you're going to help. God's going to open that door. When I moved to Georgia, we moved to Georgia for Bible college. I had both my pastors, our senior pastor and his son, which is our associate pastor. Those were my biblical counselors. I love my pastors. But then I moved to Georgia, and God just opened up the perspective. God just opened up the door for more people and showed me how many more people have went through a lot of the same things I have. See, God specifically puts people in your life on purpose. Because there's things that you have went through and you have conquered that somebody else is getting ready to go through. Or you're going through something that somebody else has already conquered. There was a time in my life when I was a teenager. I was on drugs and alcohol before I got saved. I was an addict. And I got through it, praise the Lord, and I believe the Lord pushed me through that before I got saved. But then I got saved when I was 19 years old. And I realized how many people out there really believe that people don't go through the same thing. And that has allowed me to help people. That has allowed me to love on people. When we go through problems, we go through issues in our life, God's going to help us through it, but He's going to give us people that's going to help us. Wise counsel is important to have in our Christian life. There's a reason why God invented the church. Church ain't for the lost, it's for the saved. The seventh thing, be open to God's direction. We are to be open to what God has for us. Turn over your Bibles there to Isaiah 43, verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 19. See, sometimes challenges might indicate the need for change. Being open to new opportunities, even if they're outside of one's comfort zone, can lead to growth. See, many times we realize that God's got a plan for us. But then we start kind of walking on that path and we're like, man, I don't know if I like this. I feel uncomfortable. I can't. I don't know. But if you keep pushing through and you allow God to continue to work, it'll start getting a little bit more comfortable. And then you start following that path that God has for us. Or maybe God puts something on your heart and you're just not comfortable with it altogether. When I surrendered my life to preaching the gospel, I was not comfortable with it. I was afraid of it. I quit talking to my mentor, John Walls. I quit talking to him. I would text him when he would text me. I quit going to Bible study. Satan just had me all scared. I thought my wife was going to leave me. But that was just a lie that Satan told me. I was so scared that I was willing to walk away. But then I turn around and I start walking that uncomfortable path. And I'm realizing that God's got a true plan for me, and He opened the door the whole way. If you look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." See, God took care of the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they left Egypt. And they was out in the wilderness, and they were gone. And how many times did they question God? God, did you just bring us out here to kill us? Are you doing this to get back at us? What did we do? But when you realize that God has a plan for your life, and you're open to that direction, then we realize that we do need to grow. That it's uncomfortable to grow, but it's worth it. Because in the end, God's going to bless you and God's going to use you. See, while the Bible doesn't offer specific advice on careers or big purchases or a big decision, its teaching emphasizes the principles of trust, contentment, guidance, stewardship, diligence, and seeking God's purpose. So many times in the Christian life, and we see many Christians leaving the church today. Why? Because we allow Satan to step in and say, God don't want to use you. Nobody else is dealing with what you're going through. You might as well just walk away. But the truth of the reality is, God loves you. He wants to use you. And that's why He puts people in our lives. When we're seeking the seasons and the purpose for our life, the seasons will get easier. When we're seeking where we're at in our life, whether we're in high school, whether we're at a retired age, whether we're at a middle age age, God's got a plan for each of us. And He wants to use us. But the willingness to say, Lord, I want to grow. Lord, use me, but I don't know what to do. You've got to guide my steps. If you're willing to grow, God's going to use you. I appreciate y'all allowing us to be here, and I look forward to getting to know each and every one. If you have any questions, real quickly, we've got just a couple of minutes. Is there any questions before?